It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. The Steelers, finding themselves in need of a backup quarterback for Ben Roethlisberger, have signed 35-year-old lefty Michael Vick. Once a rising star, Vick's career was famously derailed half a dozen years ago or so by a variety of off-the-field incidents, including participation in a dogfighting ring, which landed him in jail. The signing by the Steelers is a controversial one. Thousands have already signed petitions protesting it. And it also seems odd for an organization like the Steelers, which has prided itself on finding players of good character. So much so that our next guest, Ben Schmidt, an award-winning reporter for the Pittsburgh Tribune Review, once penned a lengthy piece called The Steeler Way. And he also has written about pit bulls, including a piece for the Detroit Free Press, which earned him an Emmy Award. Ben Schmidt, welcome back to Essential Pittsburgh. How are you?
Hey, Paul. How are you doing? It's great to be here, and it's great to be back in newspapers where I belong. I think when I wrote that piece, I was a freelance writer, and now I'm back in the biz,
yes,
as they say.
Yes, you were, and yes, you are. And we'd like to hear from our listeners. What do you think of the Steelers signing Michael Vick? 412-246-2002 is the number to call. And, Ben, we have some Twitter comments, too, that we'll get to.
I'm sure you do.
Yeah, and you can reach us on Twitter at ESSPGH. So, Ben, what do you make of this? This really came out of nowhere. It was necessitated, after Sunday's game when one of their backup quarterbacks, Bruce Gradkowski, got hurt and looks to be out for the season, and they thought we have to bring another body in here. But Michael Vick, what was your reaction?
Well, I think, you know, there's so many ways to look at this, and I think one of the things that, you know, I wrote about in that piece was the so-called Steeler Way. And I guess my initial reaction was, does the Steeler Way exist anymore, or is it just a myth? And I think people are weighing in on Twitter and on all kinds of radio shows like this one, offering their opinions. And that's kind of my way of dodging your question, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Michael Vick, there's a school of thought, and certainly the Steelers have echoed this in their locker room comments upon their learning of his signing. A lot of these guys, Le'Veon Bell, for example, idolized Michael Vick. He was a high school student when, you know, Michael Vick was becoming a star quarterback in the NFL and in many ways redefining the position because of his mobility and his very strong left arm. And what a lot of these players are saying is that is so 6 years or 7 years ago, however long it's been. And the argument that they make that might resonate with some people is that Michael Vick did his time. He never tried to dodge the issue. He never tried to say that I didn't do this. He owned up to it. He served his time. And now he is donating money to animal shelters and the ASPCA. And you know, regardless of what his motivations might be, because clearly this is something that's saving his career, he's doing the right things and saying the right things. So how long do you continue to punish him for something that he's already paid for?
Well, and it's funny that I'll answer that in two parts. It's funny that you mentioned Le'Veon Bell, because I went back and read that piece, and I noticed that he was a rookie then, and I had quotes from his agent in that article, and his agent was basically saying how great the Steelers' way is and how they have this program that prepares rookies for staying out of trouble. And obviously, Le'Veon Bell has gotten into trouble himself.
Yeah, I know where this is going.
Yeah, and, you know, he got arrested for the DUI with marijuana last year. And as far as, you know, the question about how long does it take for forgiveness, I guess it just depends if you believe in second chances or not. I think that dog lovers, and I'm a dog owner myself, but dog lovers are very passionate people, and they're very, I mean, as soon as this was announced, they took to the airwaves and to Twitter, and they were very upset. And I think I'm not going to be surprised if we see some protests in front of Heinz Field.
We have many Twitter comments, including one from CA on Twitter, who says, I was 3/4 of the way out the door thanks to Big Ben. Vick just slammed it behind me. Scott on Twitter says, 2 words, poor taste. And Carl on Twitter, Steeler fan for life, 52 years already, no matter what. So apparently he is not concerned with Michael Vick. Let's go to Joseph in North Versailles, who is on the line and wants to weigh in. You're on the line, Joseph, with Ben Schmidt of the Tribune Review.
Yes, thanks for taking my call. You guys sort of already mentioned how most, you know, some of the dog lovers feel. I'm a dog lover. My son and I had the debate. You know, he paid his time. You mentioned that. I just can't forgive him. I like the Steelers. I've always rooted for him. When Ben had his problems, I was doubting whether I should keep doing the Steelers. And now that they're bringing him back, I'm done with the Steelers. I have a restaurant. I won't even be putting their games on.
Joseph, I appreciate your point, but let me ask you this. How do you see Michael Vick's situation being different from Ben Roethlisberger's?
Good question. Probably just because I love animals and they're defenseless and children. When it comes to those two, I have trouble understanding and forgiving.
All right, Joseph. Well, we appreciate the call. And Ben Schmidt, your thoughts of how much does what Joseph has just said, how much of it is indicative of what you're hearing from Pittsburghers on the streets about Michael Vick?
Yeah, and I think you're hearing those comments a lot. And I think what the Steelers did is they probably determined whether or not they could weather this PR storm, a negative PR storm. And apparently they think they can, and they think it's worth it. They must think Mike Vick is worth it. And as you mentioned earlier, they need a backup quarterback, and this is big business.
Let's go to Patrick in Pittsburgh, who would like to share a comment with us. Patrick, welcome. You're on the air with Ben Schmidt.
Thanks for having me, Paul. He paid his debt. There shouldn't be any discussion about that anymore. Unless any one of these people who's complaining about him has been to prison, none of them has anything to say about what he had to go through to get where he is. So leave him alone, and the Steelers did the right thing.
Okay, Patrick. Ben, your thoughts about what Patrick is saying?
I mean, I think that's the other end of the spectrum. And one thing I'd like to add to that, I mean, this obviously is quite a story for everybody locally. This is big news around here. The Steelers are big news and big business, as I said earlier. I personally would like to hear or read what the Rooneys have to say about that. I don't think, and correct me if I'm wrong, that they've come out and said anything yet about this, Paul.
I have not heard anything from the Rooney family as of yet. But I guess it's still surprising for a lot of us. And Patrick, thank you for that call. And it really goes back to the piece that you wrote, Ben, about the Steeler way. And some of it may be, you know, a mythology here, but there is that idea that the Steelers, you know, they may sign players who unfortunately get into trouble, but that it usually happens after they've put their faith in that particular individual. With Michael Vick, he's someone who has done something that for many is unforgivable, and the Steelers know this. And why would you put the organization's credo at risk to make this signing, I guess, is something that is leading a lot of us to scratch our heads.
Yeah, and I think that goes back to one of my original point is, does the Steelers way exist anymore? I mean, I think you could definitely make a case that it does not, or that it's now a myth.
Did it ever exist? Really?
You know, that's a good question, too, because I was having a conversation with somebody about this very topic, and they made that point, hey, even in the 70s, a lot of those players, it turned out, were taking steroids. So that's a good question, Paul.
Well, even aside from the steroid issue, there were off-field issues. Ernie Holmes got into trouble off the field, among others. And of course, people have rightly or wrongly criticized James Harrison for some of his off-field behavior. Let's go to Brian in South Fayette. Brian, are you there?
How you doing?
Hi, Brian. You're on with Ben Schmidt.
Yeah, Benjamin, listen, my question is to the people in general that, like, want to listen. What he did was horrible, and, you know, I don't want to use the words unforgivable, because at some point, what, you know, what do these people think is going to be enough? I mean, you know, what's the limit to the punishment? He did, let's face it, he went to prison. He's given, like you said, he's making, you know, remuneration to the societies for the animals. When do they feel he should get a second chance in life, if we truly believe in second chances?
Well, it's a good point, Brian. And you know, the legal system determined that the just punishment, Ben, was a year in jail, and Michael Vick did that. So, at what point do you allow the man to move on and use his considerable skills to the betterment of the Steelers.
Yeah, and that's a great point. And what is the purpose of prison, right? To rehabilitate people so they can come out and be productive members of society. This is what he does for a living, and the Steelers have decided to give him a chance to do it again.
Some have said that, some have questioned, and it's hard to really be inside a man's head and know exactly what he's thinking, but some have questioned his motivation in supporting animal rights groups since his release from prison, saying that, oh, well, he's only done it to help himself. But the fact is he has done that. How much does that weigh into consideration here?
I think it's smart to do that, and I'm sure he has a team behind him giving him advice. Whether or not it's genuine or not, I agree that it's something he is doing, and I think it's up to each person, each football fan, and each dog lover to make that determination, whether he's sincere or not. I definitely don't know him, so I'm not sure, but you're right, he is doing that.
And aren't the Steelers, in a sense, they've seen other teams or another team, the Eagles, and in fact, there is another team as well, the Jets, that have taken a chance on Vic. Philadelphia fans, New York fans, they're notoriously vocal. Vic weathered that storm. Why shouldn't he be able to do that here, the thinking goes. Let's go to one last call quickly. Regis in the North Hills. Regis, we're down to about 30 seconds, if you can make it quick.
Yeah, thank you for taking my call. I enjoy your show. I just one comment. I wish people were as passionate about drug use and domestic violence as they are the treatment of animals, and we would have a better society. Thank you.
Interesting point. Thank you, Regis, for joining us. So, Ben, back to my question about, if other teams have already gone through this with Vic, why shouldn't the Steelers? We got about 10 seconds.
And didn't Philadelphia boo Santa Claus, throw snowballs at Santa Claus? So I think that, I'll go back to what I was saying before. I think the Steelers weighed both sides and decided that they can weather this storm, so to speak.
Ben Schmidt is a reporter for the Pittsburgh Tribune Review, joining us to talk about the Michael Vick controversy. Ben, as always, great thanks.
Thanks, Paul.
We are out of time. Tomorrow on Essential Pittsburgh, a conversation with Salah Uddin. Until then, I'm Paul Guggenheimer. So long for now.